clock up here, otherwise I may run over or whatever the case may be. And my wife doesn't want to hear me talk, so I don't think you'd want to either. And unfortunately, I don't have a pretty lady next to me. I have Josiah, so he'll have to do for today. So I have to pick on him every time now instead of my wife. But maybe that's why she's not here today. But basically, I'm going to start off in Chronicles chapter 7. Obviously, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And what I'm going to try to do is I marked my Bible so I could find verses quickly so I don't have to spare time. And I don't know if this is necessarily teaching on revival, but maybe just preaching on revival and the possibility that we can have revival. So I want to bow right now and ask God to bless and do a great work, because there's nothing in me worth of anything. So we'll bow and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I wasn't expecting this earlier this week, Lord, and this is not what I had in mind, Lord, but you know better, Lord, and you're far wiser than all of us, Father. And I ask that this would be the beginning, Lord, of something great, Lord, and just that revival would be sown in our hearts, Lord, and that the possibility, Lord, and their responsibility to this nation, Lord, as Christians, to bring revival, Lord. And I just ask that you plant that seed and that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll start off with chapter 7, verse 12, and I'll read through until verse 15, and then I'll actually get into my introduction, but I always thought it's important to start with the Word of God before anything else. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attentive to their prayers that is made in this place. So the thing is, what I've heard, and this is my introduction, so you have to forgive me, I don't usually plan to do this, but I thought it was important. But I've heard in my experience, when I was down in San Antonio, but I was down in Fort Bliss in El Paso, Texas, when I was going down for chaplain assistant school about 2 years ago, there was a good Christian brother I ran into, and he studied his Bible all the time. And I was talking to him about the possibility of revival in America. And the whole time he was telling me, he's like, well, I don't think America is going to repent. I don't think America is going to repent. And I told him that was a proper thing, that America was never going to repent, because it was never America's job to repent, to bring revival. That's like we spend all this effort and time looking at how to win the atheists to Christ. It's a good thing to do, but that's not where the fruit is. That's not what we're ready to go reap. You go and get what's fresh. And that's the same with Christians. It's Christians' responsibility in America for America to have revival. It's not the heathen. It's not the unsaved. It's our responsibility, which I'll get into. But I do believe that America can have revival, but it is at our responsibility. It's our thing that we have to stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ. It's us who have to go before the throne of grace. We can never expect the unsaved or the heathen to do it. We go to them, we start working with their lives, but we never check to see if they're saved. Then we wonder ourselves, why aren't they changing? Well, because they don't have the Spirit of God in them first. That is necessary. The same thing with this nation. It says righteousness exalt a nation. And the fact is that we are the righteousness of this nation, but it's us to get clean and go before God and plead for this nation. It's not up to the unsaved. So I do believe that America can have revival, otherwise this would be a fruitless thing. And I want to share this with you, but I've heard preachers and teachings and stuff like that, the liberal ones today, say, well, I think America's gone too far. Or Christian workers say, well, I don't think America's capable of doing that. I think we've crossed the threshold of what God is able to do. All I know is my God's hand is not shortened, and he's more than capable to do this, and he's able to save this nation and bring it back. But the thing is, we need to have people with belief and conviction and have a burden in our hearts for this nation. I do believe that if this Christian whole doesn't do anything and go before God and beg for a revival, we will not have it, because we must ask in order to receive, which I'll get into. But I am firmly assured that if we go before the Lord with a sincere heart and with a burden on our heart, and we ask Jesus to give us that burden, and that we do it faithfully, that revival will come. But it is at our cost. It's at our tears. It's what we sow and it's what we do. And it's not to some liberal scholar who all he does is study his Bible and doesn't see his soul led to Christ to do. It's up to us who believe the book, who believe God's word, and believe what he said, and knows that he's unchanging. He does not change. The same God that saved Nineveh is the same God that can bring revival to America. And there they had no believers. They had one man from a foreign nation come to there and preach, and they all repented. Let alone we have a whole room full of Christians born again, saved by God's grace, that can go before there. And it can start here in Des Moines. It is possible in America. But I just want to say, as Jesus said, you know, is this a faithless and perverse generation? I don't think so. I don't think that we've gone that far. But we do need to have faith, and we do need to go by God's recipe, which is in this verse, and it shows in other places in the Bible. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 through 15, shows God's recipe for revival. And I am assured and I know for a fact that God can do it, but he needs us to do it. The people believing that Calvinist ideal of the fact that, well, God will do it when he chooses. God says, choose you this day. For me and my house, we have. It's people making decisions to do something and call out for God for the promises. With that being said, I'd like to begin. The first thing that's always necessary for a revival to happen is there always has to be a time of judgment upon the land. When the land has gone too far from God, if you go back to verse 13, this is showing God's judgment upon the land in Chronicles. It says, if I shut up the heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people. At this point, God has started to cast judgment upon the land for their wickedness because they've drifted away from the Lord. And because he's done this thing, the people have a choice now. They can continue down the path that they will go, which will lead to the destruction when God will cast judgment upon them finally, as with what happened in the book of Jeremiah, or they can make a decision to do what God's recipe is for revival, for people's hearts to be changed. If you realize, God's already started his judgment in America, and you probably don't realize that, but if you look in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, you can flip there if you choose to, if not. But it's going through the series of sin that goes upon a nation. It's what God does. But the first thing it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from the heavens against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that when they knew God, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God had showed it unto them. Then it starts going down as you go through. Let's see, I'll go to verse 24. It says, wherefore God gave them up. This is God's judgment on the land. He's starting to give them over to their affections and to their sin. That's what happened in this right here. It says, the wrath of God, the judgment of God is revealed from heaven, and this is the pathway that it's shown. So if this is the pathway and the recipe where it goes all the way down to the destruction to where they hate God, if you read through this, which we're not going to take the time to do in Romans chapter 1, God has already begun judgment on this land of America according to what the scripture says. He has turned them over to a vile mind. He's turned them over to a reprobate mind to go after their own lust, to go after their own covetousness. They delight in evil and they have pleasure in doing so. This is the nation that's before you. This is the people that live beside you. They've been turned over that. We ran into a guy yesterday, praise God, he did accept Jesus Christ, but he was gay and he was homosexual and he was doing the things that this very book says is a part of God's judgment of turning him over to a vile mind, to a reprobate mind. And thank God that God can save them, but that all the more shows God's grace. But as me and Mark went to go to share him the gospel, somebody has to go and do it. That's the same with American revival. We must go. And we must go before God. We must plead for this nation. We must plead for ourselves. We must have revival within before we can have it without. But the fact is, we must go. But this is a positive sign, according to what the book of Romans says, to what happened with also in the book of 2 Chronicles, that it's very prevalent that there has to be a falling away first before there can be a renewing. Because unfortunately, that's how we work. We have to go into darkness before God does something. I believe this is the beginning of our darkness, that we've gone down that path. If we continue down that path, I guarantee you by God's word, judgment will fall upon America, and you do not want that, because that will be at the cost of your families, your friends, and your lives will be cut short. And that is not what we want. We want this nation to be saved and brought back to Christ and righteousness, and he is more than able, but we have to believe. So first, there has to be a sign of judgment upon the land, which, my friends, I do believe there has begun. If we go back to the next thing is, then we'll go back and spend the majority of our time in Chronicles. But God, what would God have us to do as Christians? What would God have us to do as believers? People will say, go to this if you want to go back to Chronicles. But people say, well, God, that was a promise to Israel, not to us. And they'll say, well, that wasn't for us. God used the nation then. Well, that is correct. God did use the nation, but he is unchanging. And what happened was he left the Jews, and he went over to the Gentiles. And this is now the time of the church age. It's now our time to go before God. And if we want any of these promises, it's up to us to claim them. But it says, if my people, which are called by my name. So that's not people say, I am a Christian, because I run into people all day long. Mark knows. I'm picking on Mark today. Thank you, Mark. But we've been doing a lot of soul winning together. But the fact is, we go, oh, well, I'm a Christian. Well, what do you mean by that? They have no idea. They just think automatically by being in a Christian family or being around a bunch of people who are Christians or parking themselves in a church, they by automatically become Christians. That's not what I'm talking about. And that's not what God's talking about either. He says, who are called by my name. And what that means, there's specifications to be called by his name. It says in, Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it says they were first called Christians in Antioch. That's the purpose. They were called. It was nothing they decided to call themselves or say, this is what I am. It's the people they fell in with. It's the people they were. People would look at them and say, that's a Christian. There's something different about them. And God's through them. There's something different. And that's how we need to be. It's people who would look at us and call us Christians. We were called by his name. Not that we call ourselves, but we would stand up and be called for Christ. That's the people he's talking about. He's talking about the real born-again believers with a changed life seeking God. And that's another thing we have to do. It says, then we have to humble ourselves. See, the Bible shows two things about humbling that's so important. One, we can be humbled by God, which I don't think any of us want to do that because that's a very painful thing. I've had it happen before in my finances and things in my life. And being humbled by God is not a choice I'd want. And this is not what God would require for revival. Because the thing is, this is God's people going before the throne of grace boldly asking and begging and pleading for God to do something supernatural and great in their land. Because the land has fallen and they've gone away and they are retrobate, they are vile, and they don't even know what they stumble at because they're lost. And you can't expect them. It's up to us. But we have to humbly go before him. It says if we go humbly before God, we humble ourselves. He will exalt us in due time. It's up to God to exalt us, not for us to exalt ourselves. Otherwise, we'd be humble. But we must go before God with a humble heart and a humble spirit. And we need to go before him as his people. The next part, it says, we must pray. We must ask God to do something. And the thing is, a lot of Christians say, well, I go before God and I ask or I pray. And if you notice, there's different types of prayer. We should always pray and be with, or pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And the men are always to pray and not to faint. But also it talks about that secret, special prayer. Jesus said, do you want to spend time with me and with the Father? You go into your closet alone and lock it and you pray before me. That's when you bring your burdens before God and you ask him to do something great. Because if you go in secret and you labor and you strive for God to do something, he says he will reward you openly. That's what we're looking for, one in our own lives personally and second in the lives of those around us in our nation. Because I believe that a good Christian should be patriotic and care about their country because it's where they live. And it's the people around them. And it said Jesus looked upon the multitudes and had compassion. And we're called to be Christ-like. This should be in our heart and what we do. But it says that we're supposed to humble ourselves before him. Then we're supposed to pray. And if we don't pray, we can't expect to receive. It says, you have not because you've asked not. It says, pray, ask and you shall receive. Knock. And the door shall be opened unto you. The simple fact of saying, well, I know that's what God wants. You know, a simple sinner. It's so the plan of revival is so close to the plan of salvation. It's a lot of the same necessary steps, but it's a little bit deeper. You can't expect God to do anything to the sinner if he doesn't ask for God to save him. You can't expect God to do anything great for a nation or a people if they don't ask God to do it. We simply have to be God's people. We need to go before them humbly, before God humbly. He is God. He is the great I am. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Then we have to ask, and then we have to ask again. If you remember about the widow with the unjust judge, they asked and they asked and they asked and they asked. And she continued to ask, and God gave justice. In that case, that was the picture of God with the judge. But he gave justice, and he went through and did what she required. But we have to do that. We have to be that widow. We have to ask. And ask, and ask, and ask. And if we don't have it in us, we need to ask God to give us faithfulness to do it. Then the next thing we have to do is we have to seek his face. And I was a little confused with this. Well, what do you mean by seeking his face? Because God is a spirit, and I can't just go, oh, there he is. It doesn't work that way. But I have to seek his will, to seek his desires, to seek his burden in my life. If you want to go to Hebrews 11 for me. verse 6. Good thing I do have these flips, because otherwise we'd be in really a big trouble. But it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So without faith, Christian, we cannot please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So we must go in him knowing that he is God and that he is the creator of the universe. Then it says that he that is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. This is diligently going after God day after day after day after day and day again and day again and day again. That's every day. And it says that he's the rewarder of them who do this. And we're called to seek God's face continually, day after day. And if we do this, this is God's promise. God will do it. He has no choice. But we have to follow God's recipe for revival and for the change of this nation. It's not like, well, I'll go do this and this too. Or I'll sacrifice myself through this. That's not what God's asking. God gave the recipe. It's very clear. If we follow this recipe, God will bring revival. For he has no other choice but to do so. Because if he did, he would be a liar. And we know our God's not a liar. But we have to follow it. Then also, if you go to Psalms chapter 1. Or not 1, I'm sorry. Psalms 105. See, good thing I wrote it down 3 times. I would forget. But we'll go to Psalms chapter 100 or chapter 105, and I want to go to verse 4. Actually, I'll go to verse 3 to start. Glory ye in the holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice and seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. This is telling us different ways that we need to seek the Lord. You know, it says right here, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. We'll have rejoicing because we seek the Lord. It says, seek the Lord and his strength. We need his strength because on our own we can't stand nor do anything. It's up to us to go and ask for God's strength to seek him continually. Then it says once again, seek his face forevermore. It's a continual thing every day, for every day, for every day. It's what we do. It's our lifestyle. It's not something we do for a while then quit. Revival will not come. I remember a story about a revival. They prayed for 180 days, 4 days a week, for 5 hours at a time. God did send revival, but his people had to plead, cry, and beg for God to do something. Because God wants to, but the heart needs to be right. People need to be sold out, dedicated, and dead to themselves for God to move. And it's just necessary because if we have sin in our lives, God cannot move through that which is sinful. And then also, if you want to go to Hosea, if you can find it, that's why I marked once again. But if you go to Hosea chapter 10, and then let's see here, I got verses 12. Yeah, verse 12, it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Most of the times in the Bible, when it's talking about breaking up the fallow ground, it's talking about the condition of your hearts. We need to break up the condition of our hearts. We need to become clean before God, let God's righteousness flow through us. And if we seek God and we break up the fallow ground of his hearts, God will move, and that we'll also be able to seek him wholly with our whole selves. But then also, the other thing that we need to do, first we need, like I said before, is there needs to be a time of judgment on the land, which I believe is fallen, according to Romans. Then the second thing is, what do us as Christians need to do for God to move? One, it has to be his people to seek after God. It's his people called by his name. Not people who call themselves Christians, but people who are Christians to be identified, to be stand up for the Lord Jesus and be counted. Then we need to humble ourselves in a humble spirit, humble mind, and seek God. And then we must ask God to do something. Then we must continually, repetitively, day after day after day after day, seek the Lord and ask for him to do a great work. I'm convinced that he will. Then we have to seek his face in our lifestyles and what we do in our families. We need to be totally and completely sold out to God and totally sold and bought with the price, so it says, which we were bought with the price, so therefore we need to glorify God in our body and spirit. That's a part of seeking God. And then what? Then what? We ourselves, one for our nation and one for ourselves personally, need to turn from our wicked ways. And I believe a lot of you here are earnest and good Christians. And I know you do. I know your lifestyles and what you do. And not necessarily, but we still have sin in our heart. Things we've retained and held back from God. And God said, son, I love you. Son, I love you. Son, I love you. Just give that up. It's not a big deal. You'll have more. You'll have more. Just obey me. Just do this. That's what God's doing with our hearts. And he's doing it with my heart daily. And there's still things I'm holding back. And I need to go before God and repent of it. And I need to tell him sorry for what I've done. I need to clean up and cleanse that relationship between me and God if I expect him to do anything great. And the thing is, then we go before him for our nation and say, I'm sorry that they're out there committing sodomy. I'm sorry they're killing babies. I'm sorry that our president's not doing what you should, Lord. I ask you to give them wisdom, Lord. I ask that you change my neighbor's heart, Lord, and they're living and they're unmarried, Lord. I just ask that you work in that, Lord. I ask that you give me the words to speak, Lord. I ask that you cleanse this nation, Lord. Put all their wrath and sin upon me, Lord. I'll take it, Lord. And then we need to go before him and ask God to forgive our wicked ways, Lord. And what we need to go to is Psalms 139, if you will. We go to Psalms 139. I know probably most of you are very familiar with this, but it's okay. We'll read it again because the Word of God's powerful and we need it. And my pages are stuck together. But all right, so he goes, search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So what God's requiring us to do, this was a prayer that he had, and I think this is a good prayer. I make this my prayer every time that my heart is turned. But it says, God, search me, and know me, and look at me, and see if there's any wicked ways in me, and reveal it to me, so I can change and follow after you, and have your will for my life, and I believe we need to do that as Christians. And the other thing that I thought was really good, at first time I told Pastor, I was finding verses that I had not formally known. But if you want to go to Joel, my pastor's book, since his name's Joel, and then you go to chapter 2, and I'm almost finished, Pastor. But it says, therefore, also now saith the Lord, turn ye to me with all your heart, not with some of your heart, or not kind of your heart, or parts of your heart. It says, all your heart, all of your heart. And then it says, and with fasting, that's shown your need and how desperate you are. It's dying to your flesh. And with weeping of tears and dying and begging God to do something. And knowing that if we weep and we sow in tears, that we'll reap in joy. And it says, and with mourning and pleading and begging for God to do something real. And rent your heart, not your garments, he said. Because they so often need that for an outward sign, but it's the inward sign that matters. It's rending your heart before God and being broken and seeking after him with your whole heart. And it says, for he is gracious, our God is gracious. That means he's willing to give us far above that we deserve. And that thing it says after, it says he's merciful. And in fact, that means he has mercy upon us sinners. And it says that, and it says right here, it says, merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So right here, what we need God to do is repent of the evil that he's decided to do, which God will do to judge a nation. But we need to go before him as his people, with all our hearts, with a broken heart, seeking God, asking for mercy, weeping with tears of mourning, waiting for God to do something great. And I am at a total belief, and I know for a fact that God will, because God says he would. And my God does not lie, and my God does not change. He's the same God today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and forever. And that is the God I serve. I ask you, Christians, is that the God that you serve? And the thing is, I believe totally that if we do obey God's word, and we do what God says to do, that God will have no other choice but to bring revival. I'm going to go back to my key text. I want to read the last part and make a few notes, and then I want to go through it and read it one more time because it's the word of God that is important. But it says, then if you go on, if you see after they turn from their wicked ways, and it says, this is what God starts to do in a nation, starts to do in his people. It says, then I will hear from heaven. There will be no sin, no clutter stopping all their prayers. I'll hear them. And I will forgive their sin. And God will repent and forgive their sin and make the way clear for them. And it says, he will heal their land. That's the cursedness of the ground. That's the sin around you. That's the wickedness on the television. That's what you hear on the radios and all those things that deprimate God. And what we need is to glorify God, but that will only happen through God's people first. And then it says, then my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to their prayers that is made in this place. And it was talking about the temple, but it's also with us. That we are the temple of God, and also for this nation, that we join together as a church of God. and individual local assemblies. But anyway, it's a fact that that's God's plan. So I want to repeat that one more time. Then I want to read the passage. But first, there must be a time of judgment on the land. And I do believe, according to Romans 1, that judgment has begun. And God has begun to turn this nation over to their own ways. And because of that, we have no other choice but to be destroyed due to that. The next thing I do believe is that what do God's people have to do? They have to make a choice. It's a choose you this day whom you will serve. And it's the same thing we have to do today is we have to choose who we serve. And if we do decide to choose to serve God and ask for something greater than we deserve, then we need to follow God's recipe for this. And what is that? First, it's the people who are called Christians, the people who are honest, real, sincere Christians going before God. Then we need to humble ourselves. That's with a broken, contrite heart and spirit before God, because it says he can't resist that. Then we need to pray continually, day after day. It's not like a Burger King prayer where it's like, dear Lord, can I have a cheeseburger and fries? He's like, there you go, out through your window. It's not like that. It's continually, day after day after day after day after day after day that we ask God to work, one in our lives and in our nation. And in this prayer, we need to have gratefulness, praising him. We have to have humbleness, sincereness in what we ask. And then the part of prayer also usually tacked on is repentance. But it says that we must ask and we must seek his face in all that we do in the ways that we are and that what we do in our lives. That is this seeking God? Is this acknowledging him in all my ways? Then we need to turn from our wicked ways first. And then we need to go before our nation, for our nation, on their behalf. And we need to ask for forgiveness for their sins because they don't know what they stumble at. They don't know they're in darkness. It's up to us who have the light to be that light on the hill and go before them, for them. And we also need to plead for their souls and might as well because Jesus could come back today. And then lastly, of all things, we need if we obey God and what he says, he will have no other choice but to save this land and bring it back that we may have another great awakening before the Jesus Christ comes again. And maybe more of us will be caught up in the clouds with him who remain. But I'm going to read that again. It says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house and a sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, God's judgment. If my people, Christians, which are called by my name, real Christians, that would be stood up and recognized, shall humble themselves, going before God humbly, and pray and seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways repentance, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, that's God's mercy, and I will heal their land, that's God giving us more than we deserve. Now my eyes shall be opened, and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. And that's God's plan for revival. And I ask that all everybody would bow their heads right now, and we'll pray as Pastor comes up. Dear Lord, I thank you for this chance, Lord, to share what revival is about, Lord, and that it is possible in these days, Lord. I just ask that you begin to work in people's hearts, Lord, and show them the truth and reality of this, Lord. It's something that we can have in this world and time, Father. I just ask that you do a great work, Lord, and use Open Door Baptist Church and the people of this church, Lord, this called out assembly, Lord, to reach a hurt and dying nation, Lord, that we'd have a bigger vision and truly believe, Lord, that you can, because I know you will.